Rod's Pulse Podcast Number 34, Interview, Dr. Jeff Leno of Podside Consults, and New Age Piano.
This is Rod's Pulse Podcast, the podcast for faculty and students interested in learning how to use and create podcasts and other e-learning technologies. Welcome back. That's a little teaser. It's called Lines Build Walls, and that's by Aaron Starks. And I got that from the Magnatune music site. It's a very interesting site. You can buy the full CD for about $8, and they encourage you to share it with up to 3 friends, and they can download it directly from their website. So check out Magnatune. I have very brief news from the Podosphere. Last time I talked about 2 conferences that were around the bend, and I forgot to mention that there's actually a third. It's a busy season. The Philadelphia Area Educational Technology Conference is coming up at the end of February. It's February 22nd and 23rd, and it's also held at Drexel University. It's a little different than the other ones I talked about in that it's geared towards the K-12 and college environment, so you'll see a variety of topics. And it looks like an interesting program. And yours truly is giving a little talk on podcasting on Friday, February 23rd. So check that out. As usual, I have the URL in my show notes. I think you'll find my main topic today pretty interesting. It's an interview with Jeffrey Leno, MD. He's the principal behind Podside Consults. Now, this is a new website which hosts CME via podcast. Their feature podcast happens to be on smoking cessation, and it's featuring several Jefferson faculty. We'll be talking about some of the basics of putting together a podcast like this and the CME issues and how to get it accredited, and something which Jeff calls burst learning. And in the second half of the interview, we'll be concentrating on some of the tools that he uses to put together his podcast. I can tell you I learned a lot. He's quite a professional. He's been doing this for a while. He's obviously done his homework, and he uses some very interesting and different tools, some things that we've not discussed here. So enjoy. Here's the interview with Dr. Leno.
Welcome, Jeff. Thanks for taking the time to speak to us here on Rod's Pulse Podcast. And can you tell me a little bit about, first, I guess, the name of your website, how people get to it, and what the purpose is?
Well, thanks, Rod. Podside Consults is what it sounds like. It is a takeoff on curbside consults that any two physicians might have when sharing some basic information that's of practical value in their day-to-day practice. The concept originally arose because in our state, Pennsylvania, and as I would find out many other states, a lot of physicians have these new and onerous requirements for additional CME for licensure. In Pennsylvania, you have to have 12 hours of CME in patient safety and or risk management as a component of your required 100 hours in order to be relicensed. And they have a similar provision in Massachusetts, and there's many other states that have smaller versions of the same thing. And the state does audit for this. Mm-hmm. So to originally try and help my fellow colleague, it occurred to me that we're going to need a new type of CME that really focuses in on meeting that requirement. And at the same time, was there a way that it could be done that would also add value just from a clinical perspective in some therapeutic areas of medicine, sort of a two-for-one benefit?
Mm-hmm.
In addition to that, I realized that, and I've been following the information, and there's clearly a pattern of use of podcasts among physicians, certainly 45 and younger, and a lot of use of the Internet generally by all physicians. And so I thought, let me create a vehicle that would allow physicians not only to download information in the form of podcasts that would help meet this new requirement for CME. But let me also do it in a way that's user-friendly so that you can listen directly from your computer screen using streaming of MP3 technology.
Mm-hmm. It's funny, I noted some research I mentioned in one of my previous podcasts that about 60 to 70% of listeners listen directly from their desktop.
And I knew that was the case because the sophistication of using the MP3 device is still on the learning curve for a lot of physicians.
That's right.
But no question that a very large majority certainly now have a comfort level with listening directly from their computer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the next step was to figure out the format for doing it. Certainly there's nothing novel about podcasting. It's taken off. I mean, there isn't a major magazine or journal now that doesn't have some sort of podcast component. But what I wanted to do was to be able to make this as easy to use, as user-friendly as possible. So the website had to accommodate not only ease of use and access to the podcast itself, but also a way of tracking information about the physician, allowing the physician to give feedback at the conclusion of their learning exercise,
mm-hmm.
The ability obviously to meet all of the ACCME requirements for CME, which are complicated,
mm-hmm.
Partnering with the right vendors in order to make that happen, and lastly, so to give physicians the ability to log their activity or even print out a certificate.
I see. That was one of my questions. Who actually confers the CME credit?
The CME in this case is done by a company in Arizona called CME Solutions. They've been around for forever. There are two guys who've been in the business for a long time. Both have extensive pharmaceutical experience. Most importantly, and you always should look for this when you deal with a CME vendor, is their ranking by the ACCME when they went through their accreditation.
Mm-hmm.
You look for exemplary standing. I've achieved that myself in the situations where I've gone through accreditation in other organizations that I've worked with, and CME Solutions also is exemplary ranked, especially in the area of needs assessment,
mm-hmm.
which has become a really big deal now in the world of CME.
Right.
So they're the ones who accredit it,
mm-hmm.
and I guess the other key issue here for me, the thing that I think differentiates the approach I've taken is a term that I actually created and I actually own the trademark for, and it's called burst learning.
Burst learning, okay.
Burst learning, simply defined, is Leno's rule that says you can teach a doc in 15 minutes what you normally took an hour to do. We're in a world now, and I certainly know this from my managed care background, where the time constraints are worse than ever. Reimbursements are level or going the wrong way. And physicians simply do not have the luxury of time that they used to have to go to long training meetings.
Mm-hmm.
It's 2 or 3 hour dinner meetings. Also, the U.S. government, the pharma industry, the regulatory environment has really changed. And the kinds of things that physicians were able to do in a learning environment have changed. The venues for dinner meetings, the gifts, all of the stuff that we as a healthcare community have squirmed about over the years have finally begun to reform. Even at Jefferson, there are no lunches, for instance,
mm-hmm.
For the residents or the nursing staff that were catered by pharmaceutical companies, even though they were considered minor affairs. Penn has done the same thing. There's been a call to arms by several leading experts in the field who have said the same thing. So what you're seeing now is a transformation in the industry and a much greater discipline, which is a good thing, but also it recognizes the fact that physicians simply don't have the luxury of time.
That's right.
So I believe profoundly that the e-learning environment will completely transform the way physicians learn, and certainly in the industry we call CME, which is, as you probably know, Rod, it's a $2 billion industry and largely historically has been supported by pharma dollars, is leveling. And you're going to see a much more strict adherence to rules and regulations in the way this material is delivered, the way that it's approved, the way that the grants are offered.
Mm-hmm.
It's all through the Internet now. It's reviewed by medical affairs committees, not by product managers. And it also means you have to be a lot more facile and nimble in learning techniques and in the world of e-learning.
Mm-hmm.
So with all of that in mind, I sought out to define a learning vehicle that would meet a lot of these needs. And because there are unique needs in risk management patient safety, the challenge was, how do I match this up to valuable everyday clinical needs? And the first effort for me was the area of smoking cessation, the first, as I call, suite of podcasts. And I like to break these into suites. My website ultimately can house an unlimited number of Podside consults.
What is the URL? How would they get to your website?
The website is www.podsideconsults.com.
Okay, good.
It's a free registration. This is entirely free to the learner. At this time, it's basically AMA-approved CME credits for physicians, but I know that a lot of other professionals can get credit through their own organizations for having taken a CME course.
I see.
They are typically 15 to 18 minutes in length, no more, and that's by definition. My point here is that you lose the learner if it goes much longer than that.
Right, it's bite-sized pieces. That's
exactly,
right.
Bursts of learning, thus the term burst learning. Also, the idea is to try and make them user-friendly, and by that I mean instead of having a talking head didactic lecture, I like to have dialogues, perhaps two physicians in a lounge discussing a particular problem issue. And one of those consults is exactly that. You have two physicians talking about a difficult patient who just won't stop smoking.
Right.
And then following that is a didactic overlay by our committee chairperson for this particular suite of Podside consults.
What sort of tools do you use to actually do your recordings and editing?
It's been a fascinating journey. You don't have to be a total geek or propeller head, but it helps. But basically, what you need is the ability to record the podcast itself and have it in what's called the MP3 compression format. And most people know MP3 because of the iPod and iTunes and things like that. And that can be done in a number of ways. The way I've chosen to do it, because voice quality to me is very important, and I use a device that's actually made by Sony, and it's a very portable recording device. It's literally no bigger than a paperback book. It's not cheap. This particular unit now goes for about $1,800-$1,900.
Wow.
But there are versions of it by other manufacturers. I could have easily gotten one by Eterol or I forget the other company. They can be had for $400 or $500, and they're outstanding quality.
So does this have a built-in mic, or do you have a special
mic? Yes. The beauty of this one is that it has built-in condenser mics with exquisite sensitivity, so much so that there are many professional music groups that will use it to record riffs in their studios. A little toy that I've just added to my armamentarium, which absolutely is not necessary, but it does help a little bit, is a device called the Reflexion Filter. It's actually a curvilinear, it's a semicircular padded device that's about 1 foot high and 2 or 3 feet wide, very lightweight. And by placing it in front of your recording device or your mic, it actually muffles some of the sound.
Interesting.
It reduces the echo in the room, and it gives you that much more of a professional recording.
Huh, I've never heard of that.
Yeah, it's a remarkable device, and it sounded too good to be true, and you know what? It works.
How about that?
What's
it called again?
It's called Reflexion.
I'll have to look it up and put a link in my show notes.
Yeah, you should. Anyway, aside from that, the quality of the recording with this device, it records into a format called WAVE, but very easy to convert WAVE to MP3 using an inexpensive software. The software that I use for that is called Mixcraft.
Mixcraft.
Very inexpensive. I'm the order of maybe $50 or $60. A lot of musicians will use Mixcraft because you can lay down multiple tracks.
Right.
You can mute any one of them. But the beauty of it is that it allows you to quickly edit and condense and cut and paste and then convert to an MP3 format. And that's how I construct my MP3s, and then I just save them as a file on my computer, which can then be downloaded, which I do, to my website. The website I use is called Homestead. Anybody can get one. The account is inexpensive. Your core account's maybe $19 a month, And with it comes a certain amount of bandwidth.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. If you become real successful here, is that going to start costing you? How are you going to recover that cost?
My first CME venture is sponsored by Pfizer.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is smoking cessation,
mm-hmm.
and they make a smoking cessation medication that's just been launched,
mm-hmm.
Varenicline. So, you know, as is typically the case with CME, these are very often commercially sponsored,
mm-hmm.
but they're done with very strict regulations, and the only thing anyone's going to know when they go to my site is a little statement that this is commercially sponsored by Pfizer, and that's the end of it. There are no links to their site, and there's no advertisement. It's fair balance under the rules of ACCME.
Mm-hmm.
Very strict, and it's a very, very valuable a group of podcasts because it talks about smoking prevention. It talks about Rich Wender's on there speaking mm-hmm. from the standpoint of ACS. Frank Leone, who's an outstanding smoking cessation expert, is our faculty chair. Listening to him is a breath of fresh air. I mean, this is mm-hmm. a guy who lives and breathes his discipline, and
right.
it really comes through when you listen to the podcast.
You know, I don't know if Frank remembers, but I've worked with him quite a few years ago on one of the early website days. But
he's a good
speaking voice, and that's why I'm going to play a little clip.
Welcome to Podside Consult's section on smoking cessation. I'm Frank Leone. I direct the Center for Tobacco Research at Thomas Jefferson University, and I'm the faculty chairperson for the smoking cessation module of Podside Consults. Certainly in the sphere of patient safety and healthcare quality improvement, the role of smoking cessation and strategies for helping improve patient-physician dialogue are critical. Listen to the dialogue that follows and see if this doesn't sound very familiar.
Victor, have a minute? Let me run a patient by you. A patient who's been with me for years, who just doesn't seem to want to do what it takes to stop smoking. It's really such a shame. 60 years old, smokes 2 packs a day since she's been in college, beautiful family and grandchildren, and she's just going downhill in a hurry.
Well, I guess we all have a handful of patients like that. It really can be very frustrating. I guess you've tried all the pharmacologic options in counseling by now, haven't you?
I can't tell you how many times.
Yeah, it's very compelling stuff, and it's fun to listen to, and it goes quickly. And then when you're done listening to these podcasts, it's the way the website is set up is that you just click, and immediately up come your questions for credit.
Mm-hmm.
And then your account is credited for the CME time. These are short bursts, and each one is 1/2 of a CME credit.
I see. Okay.
Because it's approximately a half hour by the time you've listened to the podcast and maybe re-reviewed portions of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then taking your quiz, rather.
I wasn't sure if I saw a link for an RSS feed. Is this something that you're going to add?
It's something that I've thought about.
Mm-hmm.
The initial idea was just to be able to make it listenable. As you said, most people are going to listen right off the computer.
Right.
But the way I have it set up is, too, you can literally download it, if you want, into your pod device,
mm-hmm.
or you can listen to it directly. But what I have done, as you probably know, Rod, sometimes when you download files, and that's all you've done, depending on the person's computer, it can take a while before it translates into the reader that the computer happens to have.
Mm-hmm.
It can take 40, 50, 60 seconds, and that lag can be enough to dissuade someone from listening. But what I have done is, you asked me about the technology, I've also contracted to a server called My Website Talks. It's the name of their website. And
uh-huh.
this is a very interesting program. It's a software that you purchase. Again, modest. It's about $49. And the software lets you take an MP3 recording and convert it to streaming MP3 format.
Very, very interesting. Yeah, I'm not aware of that. That could be pretty valuable.
What I do is I house them on a distant server, which I pay $9 a month to use.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so what that allows me to do is when you click on the icon on the website, it's instant on.
Mm-hmm.
And what it does is it converts your HTML appears as little buttons,
mm-hmm.
the code that they give you, so that and you can make them any color size you want.
Mm-hmm.
So when you go to my website and you see those little on-off buttons, that's really an HTML cut and paste that links you to a distant server,
mm-hmm.
which allows for streaming of the MP3 right away.
Very interesting. That's a good idea.
Which is an option. Yeah, and then it's interesting, too, because what I've also learned, though, is it isn't that long to wait when you do it from a direct download.
Mm-hmm.
If I wanted to save money, I probably could have just gone with the direct download.
Mm-hmm. But you might consider adding it eventually to iTunes Music Store. It's easy to do. You know, when I first got into this, I did a search out of curiosity for Jefferson on iTunes Music Store, and lo and behold, I found a podcast, pretty experimental, but it was came from the emergency department here at Jefferson.
Yeah.
So
I know it's not hard to do. In fact, we've done that in other areas, and it's on the list of to-dos. But this was an experiment, too. This was a one-shot sponsorship. With the unique vehicle of Podsite Consults, as you notice when you go on and you register, which is very quick to do, by the way, for anyone interested.
Yes,
it doesn't cost anything.
That.
It takes you to the page which houses the inventory of Podsite Consults. And, of course, the only one listed, of course, is the smoking cessation. But ultimately, the way I will do this is that there's no limit to the number I can house. It's just a matter of adding pages to the website. And because as good as I've become with website construction, and I did the website, you see, I built literally from the ground up using
mm-hmm.
Homestead.
Mm-hmm.
But I needed the additional technological expertise of a company in California called Caspio. CASPIO, because these are the guys who build tables that they can incorporate into the website. So behind the scenes, what you don't see is all the registration feedback.
Mm.
I have an account that I can go into and I can open up, and it will show me a database of all the people who have opted in as registrants.
Uh-huh.
By name, by specialty, by state. It also shows me the reports of their quizzes.
Uh-huh.
It'll show me who's taken the test and who has not. So there's a whole sort of table database infrastructure behind this. And they're the ones who also created the template for me to put the Podsite Consults into.
Mm-hmm.
The cost of which was it's not bad considering what some of these data vendors charge for that same sort of service.
Yeah, no, it's very
interesting. I had estimates of $40,000 and $50,000 to do this, and I was able to construct this for a fraction of that using Caspio as a vendor.
How about that? Well, that's a good tip for my listeners. I know we're going to have to sign off soon. Just had another question for you. I'm curious what podcasts you listen to.
That's a good question. You know what? I listen to a lot of like things from Newsweek or Business Week, sort of major publications that have converted to podcasts. I'm a junkie for computer and audiovisual stuff, so I'll listen to some of those.
Uh-huh. Now, do you own an iPod, or do you use another MP3 player?
We must have about 700 iPods in our household, none of which are mine.
That's funny.
But which I steal from my kids.
Right.
Know?
People are surprised to learn that I don't even own an iPod, but my wife and my daughter do, and I use my Treo phone as my
okay. Well, and that's true. My Palm Zire has tons of MP3s on it, so I'll use that a lot.
Well, Jeff, this has been a pleasure. I think I learned an awful lot, and a couple of podcasts ago, I mentioned how podcasting is a natural for CME, and I referenced some other CME websites, but and lo and behold, I was lucky I discovered yours, and here you are Jefferson faculty, so I was anxious to get you on board here on my podcast, and it's a pleasure talking to you, and I want to thank you again for joining us.
Thank you, Rod. My pleasure.
I hope you enjoyed the interview. Check out Podsite Consults. As usual, I have the URL on my show notes. And stay tuned for the New Age Piano piece, Lions Build Walls by Aaron Starks. And at the very end, my contact information. Don't forget to leave me feedback. Thanks, and until next time, have a good week.
Please leave odd feedback at 610-616-2199. Thank you.
That's it for today's episode. Thank you very much for listening. Please don't forget to leave Rod feedback. You can go to www.rodspulsepodcast.com and leave comments on his blog. You can send feedback to his email address, rod@rodspulsepodcast.com. You can also send audio feedback by calling into his comment line at 610-616-2199. Till next time, have a great week.
The preceding audio commentary is the product of the author, Dr. Rodney Merry, and does not represent the official viewpoint of Thomas Jefferson University, or any other institution or company.